OTB's Mount Rushmore. 32 counties. One county representative choosing their sporting Mount Rushmore. Some decisions are easy.
And I was seeing teachers who had never expressed any emotion whatsoever lose their mind when Sonny was running in that home straight, trying to catch that gold spot.
Others are controversial.
Mayo's greatest celebrity fan now helps him earn his place on Mayo's Mount Rushmore is Kevin Kilbane.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
George O'Connor, 17 summers in purple and gold.
And catch the live decision-making over the next few months on OTB AM, live every weekday at 7.30 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network.
Whether you're from Cushendall in Antrim or Mount Sinai in Waterford, this is what it's all about.
And get this, the all-new OTB Sports app. Off the Ball, Ireland's premier sports channel, now has a new home, featuring the biggest names in Irish and world sports. Podcasts, interviews, news, commentary, analysis, plus almost 20 years of sporting archives. All free, ready when you are, at home or on the go. The new OTB Sports app. Download it now from the App Store and Google Play.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power.
It's not quite a TikTok lip sync of Donald Trump, but it's a close second.
Gamble responsibly. See Dunlewy.net.
Manchester City against Liverpool. Full commentary coming your way from 8:15 with myself and Brian Kerr. But between now and then, we're going to talk to John Giles, who's on the line. Evening, John. John, you there?
Yeah, I can hear you, Nathan.
We got you. Yeah, we can hear you now, loud and clear. Yeah. You're keeping well?
I'm good, thanks, Nathan,
Good, still good going. Good, good, that's what we want to hear. So, a lot's changed since we spoke to you last Thursday night. Liverpool, champions, it's been confirmed. An incredible achievement, 23 points clear of Manchester City ahead of this evening's game. We spoke a lot last week about how they did it and the power of the manager, Jurgen Klopp. But when you look at what he's done over the last 4 or 5 years, and I know it's tough to rank greatness, just how great a job has he done since he took over at Anfield?
I think he's done a great job, Nathan. I mean, it took him a couple, obviously 2 or 3 years to do it, because he went into Liverpool. There was a lot to be done, and he did it like all the great managers do, a little bit, a little brick at a time, Nathan. And he's done it brilliantly, and I think he's made a foundation now to build a dynasty of, like Manchester United did, and Shankly and other man, Shankly particularly at Liverpool. So I think that foundation is there now, and obviously in the future years, Nathan, I think he will do it, unless he wants to go somewhere else. You never know what's going to happen in football, but I think the foundation is there now to dominate for the foreseeable future.
There has been a lot of talk, as you'd imagine, about what is a great Premier League team, and some people put forward the argument you need to go back-to-back, you need to be able to defend the title to be called a great team. And I was thinking about your Leeds team, which people now remember as a great team, but didn't go back-to-back in terms of defending a league title. How difficult is it? How different is it going to be for Liverpool in September compared to what they've gone through over the last few months, when they're the champions, when they're the team to be shot at?
Well, it's just different. Actually, going back to my day, Nathan, there were about 6 or 7 teams could win the league at that particular time. It's hard to win back-to-back titles at that day. But anyway, today is today. It's a little bit psychological. Well, everything is psychological in football, Nathan. But in my time, we won it in 69. And I think it was near to Christmas by the time we got back, the mentality that we had in the race for the title against Liverpool. Do you know what I mean?
Can you talk a bit about that then, that mentality? What changed over the summer that in the end of 69 you have a mentality that gets you to be champions, but then for the next 3 or 4 months it's not there?
Well, it's funny enough, the mentality you need, that we needed at that particular time, we went to the second last match of the season before we clinched it against Liverpool. In those days, there was 42 matches, right? So the next season starts quickly again, Nathan, and the mentality you have, say, for the last 8 to 10 matches is totally different to the mentality that you have at the start of the season. right? So it's hard to pick it up again at the start of the season. It's like, I think with Manchester City's case, their mentality going for the title last season was brilliant. And they won it, as we know. Now, I think you're inclined to take a little bit of a rest mentally, whereas Liverpool didn't win it. So they're hungry to go for it again at the start of the season. Now, we have to wait and see. I think they will. Liverpool will be hungry enough to start again next season. But we'll wait and see. I know it happened to me when I was in that particular position. It might have happened to Manchester City as well this season from that particular position. So Liverpool have won it, and they haven't won it for 30 years. That's a big load off their minds, Nathan. And do they have the hunger again to go for it in the way that they did at the start of this season? I think they have, and I think they're capable of doing it for a long time to come.
You talk about yourself there. Can you think back to what you would have done differently in, say, 1969, 1970? What could have been done differently in hindsight?
I don't think it could have been done differently. It wasn't a conscious thing, you see, Nathan. You know, we didn't come back at the start of the season and say, we won the league last year, we're going to take it easy. It wasn't a conscious thing. It's just something that happens psychologically in any sport. Because there weren't many teams winning the league two or three, four times at a time at that particular stage, Nathan. You know what I mean? In my time, there were lots of teams that could win it. They didn't have a Manchester United dominating. They were challenged by Arsenal, you know, but Liverpool under Shankly and that did go on to win it in the way that they did, which was brilliant. But it was no coincidence that, you know, when Don Revie retired, Bill Shankly retired.
Yeah.
You know, and Liverpool, in my opinion, did the right thing, and the next manager was from within, which was Bob Paisley, you know, in our time at Leeds, it was Brian Clough. You know, so it left, I think at that stage, we left Liverpool on their own to do what needed to be done.
Yeah.
And they did it brilliantly, of course. But I'll go back to the time when I'm only going, my own state of mind, we went in consciously for the next season to say, right, we're going to take it easy. It was just that it wasn't natural or normal to do what we did in the run-in, Nathan. Do you know what I mean? You're in a certain state of mind. It's like Liverpool and Manchester City last season. The two of them were brilliant. Now, Liverpool didn't win it, so they're hungry again start of the season, and Manchester City, in my opinion, weren't as hungry. Now, I'm only giving you my take on it, Nathan.
Yeah.
In other words, Liverpool didn't win it, so now they're hungry to go again to win it. City did win it, and I think weren't as hungry to go next for this season.
And I guess, as you say, it's not a conscious thing, so in many ways it's impossible to know what Liverpool's state of mind will be. But
exactly.
I do wonder, actually, with all that's happened, if that will suit Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp in getting his players motivated, because this wasn't the grand finale they imagined in front of 55,000 people at Anfield. That though they have won the title, though they are champions, they still haven't had that moment that they dreamed of with the spectators, that's actually something that Klopp can drill in, that actually in 12 months' time you can have that, hopefully, you can have that with the crowd, but you got to go and do it again. That it can be that motivation.
I think you're absolutely right, Nathan. It's not a normal season. It hasn't been a normal season. You know, there hasn't been a run-in now like there was last year for Liverpool to go and win it. I mean, they already had it won before we had this long break, and it hasn't been a normal season. So I think that is to their advantage in the psychological way starting next season, which won't be too far away anyway.
It's a shame in many ways that Liverpool ended up winning the title last Thursday, because there's now nothing riding on tonight's game except for pride. And I'm not sure if you've ever played in a game like this where there's not much at stake towards the end of the season, and there's going to be a guard of honour for Liverpool before the match. Does tonight's match, does the result mean anything?
Well, I don't think so, Nathan. You know, Liverpool have done what they've done. The only situation I was in like that, we won the title at Liverpool, say, on the Wednesday night, and we played Notts Forest in the last match of the season at Leeds, and we'd already won it, and we didn't play very well, Nathan, to be quite honest. We luckily won 1-0, but we were celebrating up to that particular match. So I think it'll be an exhibition match tonight. You know, I think Liverpool will go for it, but we all know that it's all over. Liverpool have won it. I think Manchester City will behave in the right way in the guard of honour and all the various things. I'd say City would want to win it more than Liverpool, to be honest. But I don't think it doesn't mean anything. I don't think it'll be like an exhibition match, in my opinion.
It's ended up, John, being quite a weak defence of the title by Manchester City. They've already lost 8 matches. And again, maybe that Chelsea game 7 days ago summed up Manchester City, that there was moments of genius, and Kevin De Bruyne's free kick, as good as you'll get.
But yeah,
defensively, the mistakes, like, it ended up 2-1. They could have conceded 3 or 4 in that second half against Chelsea.
Well, that's been their season, Nathan. You see, Kompany retired last year, which was their best defender by a mile.
Mm.
And he hasn't been replaced. There's no doubt about that. So I think Manchester City need 2 top-class defenders. And I'm surprised that Guardiola, I think he had an opportunity to buy Maguire. He had an opportunity to buy Van Dijk at one stage.
Mm.
He didn't get Van Dijk, obviously, we know. I thought he would spend everything he had on Maguire. I think Maguire would have been an ideal fit for them. Now, where he's going to get a defender that's as good as Liverpool have and Manchester United have at the moment, I don't know. There's not that many of them around, but they certainly knew they need, I think, at least 2 new defenders. Good ones.
Mm. And if they don't get them...
if they don't get them, they'll be behind Liverpool again. I can't see Liverpool slowing up.
Right.
I don't think they'll do what my team did at Leeds at that particular time in 1969.
Mm.
I can't see that happening. I think the break in the season this season has been a help when they will. They would be back and they'll be hungry to go again because they've already wrapped it up with a good few matches to go now. It hasn't been a normal season in that respect. So I would put Liverpool as big favourites going into the season next season, Nathan. And it depends now what Manchester City do in what is going to be the close season in the transfer market, because they're under pressure, as we know, with the in the transfer situation as it is, Nathan, whether they're going to be allowed to do anything or not. I think if they're not allowed to do anything, I can't see anybody challenging Liverpool for the coming seasons.
Jurgen Klopp has said, because of the financial crisis that may be coming, that Liverpool probably won't be too busy in the transfer market. Generally, in the last couple of seasons, when you talk about where they can be improved, it's in the midfield area, that they could add a bit more creativity there. With what they've achieved this season without that perceived creativity in midfield, do you think Klopp is even looking for that, or actually would he look at that midfield and think it's everything I would ever want in the midfield?
I don't think that ever happens with a manager, Nathan. You know, they never ever say that's good enough.
Right.
They'll be on the lookout. There's no doubt. I mean, they have the resources to do it, and there's nothing better. If you go back to the old Liverpool team, Nathan, you know, go back to with Graeme Souness' time, they always bought two players when they were winning things. Mm. At least 2 players. You know, that's if you look back on their record at that particular time, they nearly always added to the squad and brought new blood in. You can't have too many good players in, Nathan, you know. I think if somebody outstanding in any of the positions become available, this is the great position Liverpool are in, they can go for them, Nathan.
Yeah.
You know, those players won't lose their value while they're at Liverpool if they need to sell somebody on. All managers, doesn't matter how good they are, Nathan, if you have a great player in midfield and you can buy an even better player, then you'll do it. And then sell the great player for a good price. So you're always adding to the pool of players and adding to the financial situation as well, all the time. I think Klopp said it in the paper. He's never satisfied, Nathan.
Mm.
All the great managers have never been satisfied. Look at Ferguson, his time, changing players and improving all the time. That's what you're looking for, and that's what he'll be looking for. I've no doubt about that.
I know you won't like comparing, but to finish up before we take a break then, when you talk about that Ferguson United team and Wenger's Arsenal and Manchester City of last season, how do Liverpool compare?
I think he's built the foundation. He's already won the Champions League and the Premiership now, so it's a good start. I think Liverpool are on the way, barring something dreadful, really dreadful happening to them, which hopefully nobody wants that or wants to even think about it. But that's the only thing that could stop them. What's happened now, Nathan, the only thing that could stop them is that there's so much money in the game now with big clubs, you know, that the power of money is more available now than ever before. I can't see it happening because we've had this bad situation in football where a lot of the big clubs don't even have the money. But the only thing that could tempt the players away would be finance, the financials. I mean, in my day, you couldn't do it. You couldn't leave anyway. I think in the great day, some of the great days at Liverpool, whether the players wanted to move or not, they couldn't move. Times have changed now in that respect, where big clubs could possibly go for some of Liverpool's great players. But it's unlikely. And if that doesn't happen, I can't see anything stopping them, to be quite honest.
All right. On that note, John, we will take a very quick break. We do have Manchester City against Liverpool coming up at 8:15.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power.
It's not quite a TikTok lip sync of Donald Trump, but it's a close second.
Gamble responsibly. CWE.net.
You're welcome back. It is Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you this evening. Full live commentary of Manchester City against Liverpool coming your way. Brian Carroll will be alongside me from 8:15. But John Giles is still on the line. We've been talking about Liverpool securing that first Premier League title. John, I know you want to talk about a couple of the clubs a little bit further down the table because some of them have had really good restarts and a lot of talk about their managers and what they've achieved and whether they're getting the credit. One of them that's been fascinating is Burnley, who had that horrible night against Manchester City where they were beaten 5-0, could well have ended up in 7 or 8. They'd all sorts of issues off the pitch going on with contracts with the likes of Jeff Hendrick, who's ended up leaving the club. Yet they've managed to turn it around over the week or so since then. A couple of victories, they're ninth in the table. They still have a chance of qualifying for Europe. They're level on points with Spurs. What do you make of Sean Dyche as a manager? He's seen as quite old school in ways, never really linked with those top jobs. Is he underestimated?
Oh, totally. And unfortunately, he's underestimated in his own club with the problems that he's had in recent times. I think Mike Garlick is the name of the guy who's his boss, which I believe has been behaving outrageous in an outrageous manner as far as he should be down kissing his boots. This man should be kissing Sean Dyche's boots in the job that this guy has done at Burnley. It's absolutely amazing. He wants to do certain things, and he's gone public on it, Dyche, which a lot of managers don't do, Nathan, to say what the chief executive, I think it's the chief executive, said it doesn't want him to do. I don't know exactly what it is, but it doesn't matter what it is. He should be given the freedom to do whatever needs to be done. And I wouldn't be surprised if Dyche left now, Nathan. He's gone public on it. A lot of managers scared to go public, to go against the CEO. He's got to come out very, very strongly. He's got a couple of great results in the meantime. I think he should be in the running for Manager of the Year.
Right. That good a job.
Over the years, Nathan, and I think it's the right time for him to move. There are times in football, as a manager, when you're in a certain club and you've done certain things, move, get on, get out. And I think he'd just sit back and he'd get a much better job, I think, in my opinion, than he has at Burnley, particularly when he's not being appreciated in the manner that he should be and treated in the manner that he should be treated. I think he'll go, and I'd be surprised if he doesn't go at the end of the season. And with the record that he has, he wouldn't be in line for one of the top jobs, Nathan, but there's about 8 clubs, in my opinion, that would be after him. If he's leaving Burnley at the end of the season.
Do you enjoy watching a Sean Dyche-managed team?
Nathan, it doesn't matter whether anybody enjoys watching them. It's what they do, and the Burnley supporters would enjoy watching them. I think he makes the most of what he has. It's not particularly attractive. It wouldn't be one of my favourite teams to watch. But that's by the way. What is he doing for Burnley? He's keeping them in the Premiership year in, year out, year in, year out, Nathan. Well, it's a very, very difficult thing to do. And actually, I think he's about seventh. What is he, about seventh in the league at the moment, is he?
Eighth in the league on goal difference behind Spurs.
Amazing. That's amazing. And the guy, any of the directors and owners at Burnley should be down on their hands and knees thanking him for what he's done. It's absolutely outrageous. So he's gone public on it. No managers, if they go public, Nathan, it means he doesn't mind moving out. And certainly, for what it's worth, I would advise him to get out now.
It's interesting, he used the words when talking about the possibility of going and spending this summer. He said it's a vicious circle, that you need to get out in front of this, you need to spend money to keep the likes of Jeff Hendrick, you need to go and at times, every couple of summers, buy a couple of premium players for 15, 20 million to stay in that eighth place.
That's right.
I guess on the other side, like Mike Garlick, the chairman that you're talking about, is thinking, well, we haven't spent that money and we're still in eighth place, so why would I bother?
Well, I can understand where you're coming from. And I think that's a businessman's approach, Nathan. You know, businessmen are never satisfied with what the managers do. They always think they should be better. You know, years ago, there was a lad called Alan Corbishley. I don't know if you remember him. He was at Charlton. And he had a guy like that who was the thing. And one year, he got rid of Corbishley because he said he was bored. Finishing 12th in the wasn't the Premiership, I think it was the first division. He was bored because they were only finishing 12th in the first for the last two or three seasons. He got rid of Corbishley, and 2 days later he was in the third division.
Yeah.
That's what happens. They take it for granted. This job that Dyche is doing is a remarkable job, and it should be appreciated. But you do get people like this guy at Burnley who says, what? Why can't we be sixth? Why can't we be up there? That's the mentality that you get with these guys. That if Dyche leaves Burnley, I think they could be back in the second and third division in 2 or 3 years' time as well. But he's not being appreciated, and he knows he's not being appreciated. But he's in a position now, Nathan, that if he does leave, I think he'd get a much better job than the job he's doing at Burnley.
And as you say, in terms of his own personal career and his ambitions, you got to strike when the iron's hot. And okay, he may not get a top six team, a top eight team, but the likes of West Ham, where you're probably on a far higher salary and also with a far bigger transfer budget, may well be a club he could go to.
Definitely.
And you're not going to be hot forever, as somebody like Eddie Howe has seen, where this time 18 months ago was seen very much in the running, possibly for the Manchester United job, for the Tottenham job, and now Bournemouth are second from bottom. They're on a dire run of form. The real verve that they played with in the first couple of seasons in the Premier League just seems to be gone. The players looked really dejected. Watching them yesterday, there was no real life to them at all. Like, has Eddie Howe become a bad manager over the last 12 months? Has he made big mistakes as manager over the last 12 months? And how can you explain the decline of Bournemouth under him?
Well, you can't perform miracles every year, Nathan. Well, you can, but it's very, very difficult to do. I mean, I think he's been doing it for the last 4 or 5 years. And a few years ago, I think he was in the running for the England team. You know, there definitely is a time to leave, especially in that situation. Actually, Big Jack Charlton always said to me, and to other people, never stay longer than 3 years in the club. Because he said, when he went to Middlesbrough, he did stay 3 years, because he got promotion, Nathan. I think he finished seventh in the league the first season, and I think seventh the next season, and once he finished eighth. And the crowd got a bit onto him. And this is what he was trying to say. I didn't understand at the time. He said, there's a time to go. There's a time to go to a place, time to go in, and there's a time to go out. He said, because if you do well, like Howe has done over the last 4 or 5, I think he's performed miracles to keep them in the Premiership, Nathan. And I think there was, after 2 or 3 years, I think it was time for him to go. He performed a miracle. You can't perform a miracle for miracles forever. And it's caught up on him now, in my opinion, and he could well be sacked by the end of the season. And if he does, you know, if the board don't sack him, the supporters will. You know, there's no sentiment, as Donald said, there's no sentiment in football, Nathan. And, you know, he's a good lad, and I think he stayed a little bit too long. Performing really, you can't do it year in and year out. I mean, the only one that's done it really well so far is Dyche. You know, Dyche has done it year in and year out for Burnley, and he's doing it again this season. Get out quickly. And I think I feel sorry for Eddie Howe and any lad that's in that position. That miracles are expected in football. And he's done it for 5 years. And he'll just pay the price. Yeah. Big Jack was right. Get out after 3 years, Nathan. Well, if the going is good, and get a better job. You know what I mean? Yeah, in other words, when he was at Middlesbrough after the 3 years, I don't know where he went. I don't think it was such a better job. But he did what he wanted to do anyway. Because he said that supporters, when they finished eighth instead of seventh, were getting on to him a bit.
Yeah, we've seen that with so many clubs, but it's definitely not looking good for Bournemouth. They still have to go to both United and City, and have Spurs and Leicester at home before the end of the season.
Yeah.
Lost 16 of their last 21 in the Premier League. The defeat yesterday, obviously, was to Newcastle, who've had a brilliant restart.
Unbelievable.
And are pushing for the top 10 now under Steve Bruce. And the more you watch Newcastle and the way they set up and how strong they've been defensively, if this was Rafa Benitez in charge still and the way they've played, you'd be talking about the resurgence of Rafa Benitez and been linked with those big jobs and his tactical acumen and how he can set a team up. Because of Steve Bruce, people sort of shrug their shoulders. Again, why is it that Steve Bruce can't get the appreciation he probably thinks he deserves as well?
Well, the jobs he's done at the clubs that he's been in a few clubs, as we know, Nathan. Mm. You know, and I think he's always done it. I mean, he got sacked at Villa. He's been sacked at a few places. But I must be honest now, when he went into Newcastle this season, I thought he'd be relegated. He hasn't had the resources to do anything. He's done, I think, him and Dyche. I mean, there's no doubt Klopp is manager of the year and deserves to be manager of the year. I think Steve Bruce and Sean Dyche, for what work that they've actually done in clubs are very, very difficult to do, should be in the running for manager of the year. Bruce has done a fantastic job. And if these guys sell, it looks like Newcastle's going to sell and they get big money in, they won't keep him.
No. No, they're talking about getting Benitez back.
Well, Benitez back, or Pochettino, one of these guys. But the only thing from his own point of view, Steve Bruce and Dyche, they haven't done themselves any harm, Nathan. Do you know what I mean? Steve Bruce, in my opinion, will get a better job if he goes, which he probably will at the end of the season, than the Newcastle job at the start of this season. I thought he was a definite relegation zone. I would have tipped him for relegation Newcastle. With all the trouble that the club is in, all the controversy surrounding it, the supporters didn't want him. He didn't have any money. And he's doing what he's done. It's fantastic. Him and Dyche, I definitely should be up there for manager of the year. Brilliant jobs, and he hasn't done himself any harm, Bruce. And it might be time to get out anyway. You know.
Yeah. While the going is good, as you say.
Oh yeah, there's no sentiment in football. It's a hard management is a hard game, very, very difficult game, and these two lads have done themselves proud to get themselves in a position that they're in. From the start of the season, there's no doubt about that.
Just before we finish up, John, I just wanted to talk to you about Theo Foley, who sadly passed away this week. You would have played with him during his time with the Republic of Ireland. What sort of character was he?
He was a bubbly character. Good lad. Loved his football, Nathan. I think he was captain at this now Clampton team that went from the fourth to the first, and then went from the first down to the fourth again. And then he loved his football. And he was a huge part, I think, with George Graham in national success when he was there as coach. One of the good guys.
Mm. Didn't play a huge amount for the Republic of Ireland in the end. Had a lot of problems with a knee injury. But he did play in one famous game against Spain in the playoff for the World Cup for 1966. And ironically, I think there was a lot of questions at the time as to whether or not he should have been in the team, that Shea Brennan was back and Shea Brennan was moved out of position. But had probably his best game for Ireland and was probably Ireland's best player that day. Do you remember that match?
I do remember it. Well, it was a playoff, Nathan, and we got into a position where we were equal on points. One of the lower teams, the foreign countries, pulled out of it, and we finished up. We beat them in Dublin, and they beat us in Spain. And it was supposed to be on a neutral ground, and the most obvious neutral ground was Wembley or London for the neutral ground. We finished up playing in Paris.
Right.
And there was a big controversy that the FAI apparently got a good few quid to play there instead of London.
Okay.
Right. And Theo was, Shea Brennan played it right back, and Theo played in the middle of the field, marking Luis Suarez. Is that the guy?
Yeah, their star man.
Yeah. And he played well. They beat us 1-0, and we were well in the game, Nathan, you know.
Well, I think the story was that Theo went off injured for a couple of minutes to get treatment, and while he did, Luis Suarez scored the goal.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I think that might be a bit of a tale, Nathan, to be honest. But it was a very close match, and Theo played well in it. You know, we got a hiding in Seville, and we played in Dublin and won 1-0, I think, and we got a hiding in Seville. And then we played in the playoff match for the 66 World Cup in Paris. And that was Theo's big match.
We had Alan Smith, the former Arsenal striker, on the show earlier in the week talking about Theo Foley and reminiscing and talking about how highly regarded he was at Arsenal. I think they paid tribute to him as well before their match last night.
Yes.
And obviously a key figure alongside George Graham. It was that old school manager, assistant manager relationship, it seems, where you had the tough, hard master in George Graham and then the good guy of Theo Foley, who kept things going and had that very close relationship with the players.
Yeah, he'd be made for that, Nathan. You know, he was that type of lad. I don't think he wanted to be a manager, but he'd put his arm, you know, this is the old saying, put his arm around the players and lads who had been left out of the team. I think he was brilliant for George in that respect, that he got on well with the lads and had the respect of the players, obviously. But he'd be the one that they could go to. And he was good at that. Very good at that.
Yeah, very sad news, the passing this week of Theo Foley. John, pleasure to talk to you as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Yeah, thanks, Nathan.
All right, that is John Giles, as always, with us every Thursday evening here on Off the Ball. Quick break, and then we're back with full live and exclusive commentary. Manchester City against Liverpool is up next.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. It's not quite a TikTok lip sync of Donald Trump, but it's a close second. Gamble responsibly. CWE.net.